Welcome to the Diet Diaries, a podcast where we have candid, heartfelt conversations that will help you figure out what, why, and how to eat so you can feel amazing in your body. Because it's time to break the all-or-nothing mindset of yo-yo dieting, food obsession, and feeling ruled by the scale. I'm your host, body image and nutrition coach Jordana Edelstein. I'm so happy you're here. Hey everyone, it's episode 121 of the Diet Diaries. I always have to look down and make sure that my mute button is not blinking, because if it is, it means it's muted and I have recorded entire podcast episodes with it muted. I want to try and keep today's episode short. I'm following up on something that I talked about in an email a couple of weeks ago that has been really top of mind for me. But before I do that, I want to just quickly mention, as I've been doing this spring weekend retreat, this episode is going to air on Monday, March 27th, so we're less than 2 months away. It's May 19th to the 21st in Hunter, New York, which is in the Catskill Mountains, about 2 hours north of New York City. And this is a weekend all about giving yourself undivided attention, because the power and the impact and the outcome of that is honestly transformational. When you strip away all of the stuff that you are responsible for in your day-to-day life that is taking up so much space in your brain, the compounded effect of all of these little things, when you take that away for a weekend, you are left with so much space to pay attention to yourself. And when you are able to pay attention to yourself in that way, you can get really clear. You can get clarity like you've never gotten before around what you've been doing and what you want to be doing. Around many things, but obviously the focus of our weekend is around your relationship to food, how you've been using food, body image, movement, exercise, and self-care. And so the objective of the weekend and what I hope that you will take away is a very clear action plan on what you want to be doing at home moving forward that is reflective of everything that you've been able to get clear on over the course of the weekend. All the details are on my website. I will obviously link to it. If you have questions, reach out. It's $675, all inclusive. That includes all the food, all the workshops, a goodie bag, the accommodations. It's going to be amazing. So moving on. A couple of weeks ago, if you were on my email list a couple of weeks ago, I sent out a link to a blog post from Cup of Joe. Cup of Joe is one of my favorite corners of the internet. I highly recommend her and all of her content. I look forward to reading everything that she shares. And she has a small writing staff as well. She shared a link to an excerpt from a book that she found on Pinterest, but it does have the credit. It's a book written by, I guess, this guy named, hang on, I'm clicking over to it, Hugh McKay, author of The Good Life. And you know what I just realized? Hang on, I forgot to put my computer on silent, because the worst thing that can happen is that someone can call me while I'm doing this. Okay, done. I want to read through this. It's going to take me just, it's not super long, because I want to talk about what he writes here. I actually attack the concept of happiness. The idea that, I don't mind people being happy, but the idea that everything we do is part of the pursuit of happiness seems to me a really dangerous idea and has led to a contemporary disease in Western society, which is fear of sadness. It's a really odd thing that we're now seeing people saying, write down 3 things that made you happy today before you go to sleep, and cheer up, and happiness is our birthright, and so on. We're kind of teaching our kids that happiness is the default position. It's rubbish. Wholeness is what we ought to be striving for, and part of that is sadness, disappointment, frustration, failure, all of those things which make us who we are. Happiness and victory and fulfillment are nice little things that also happen to us. They don't teach us much. Everyone says we go through pain, grow through pain, and then as soon as they experience pain, they say, quick, move on, cheer up. I'd like just for a year to have a moratorium on the word happiness and to replace it with the word wholeness. Ask yourself, is this contributing to my wholeness? And if you're having a bad day, it is. That was one of the most powerful pieces of writing that I have maybe ever read, because it was just so true. And we are told all of our lives, and we say this, and I've said this a million times, what do you want for Ben? I want him to be happy. And I realized, like, that comes from a good place. Of course, this goal, this drive, this push towards happiness comes from a well-intentioned place. And also, it's way more complex than that. Our human brains were designed to feel many, many, many emotions, and many emotions at one time. We're not designed to just feel a single thing at one time. We are designed to feel many things at once. That is so often why I use both and. Well, I try not to say but, I really try to say and, because two things can be true, including feeling two emotions, even seemingly opposing emotions, at the same time. But somehow, we have been taught that the default, the only one that really matters above all else, is feeling happy. And why is that? And I think part of that is because emotions of pain or anguish or suffering are by nature uncomfortable. They are harder to deal with. And as you think about this, this gets kind of like meta and existential, but as you think about that, are they harder to deal with because there's so much pressure on us to be happy that we're afraid of those things, that we haven't been taught the skills to deal with those things, that we've been taught that those things are bad and to push them aside, and this is going to mess up the pursuit of my happiness, not to quote that old Will Smith movie, which I happen to love. It's really interesting. I don't have the answers to any of these things. I'm just talking about it because this has really sunk into my brain. You know, on the internet, there's been this, on the internet, I see that like on the World Wide Web, there's been years of like good vibes only, right? So much of this like inspirational stuff, and like, that's bullshit. That is not the human experience. That is not life. And when we are constantly surrounded by this messaging of pushing happiness and good vibes only, then when we feel things not that, when we don't feel those things, we're like, well, what's wrong with me? I'm not supposed to be feeling this. I'm not allowed to feel this. I have to get rid of this. How do I fix this? How do I find relief from this? Do you know how many of us try to, quote, fix it and find relief from it? With food. And it just like, I don't know. When I read this and I thought about this, I'm like, everything just like snapped into place. I'm like, oh my God. Part of being human is feeling this huge range of emotions. Brené Brown's most recent book, you guys know I love Brené Brown, is called Atlas of the Heart. And it's basically a book of all the emotions that we feel. She identified, I think it's like 79 distinct emotions and wrote about each one. This book is amazing. Read it, listen to it, watch the special on HBO, get this information into your brain in some way, whichever one of those three formats is most appealing to you. I have so many pages tabbed and highlighted, notes written, but the way she captures the human experience. And it normalizes these emotions. It is normal to feel sad, to feel jealous, to feel angry, to feel, I can't even like, the names of the feelings are escaping my brain. But if you're a human, you're going to feel all of them, and that's normal. It's not bad. We don't need to be happy all the time. And when we put that pressure on ourselves, then it's like, well, something's wrong if I'm not feeling this. How do I get to that place? How do I not feel this? And food becomes a temporary fix for that. It doesn't make us happy. It might, eating something that we enjoy, that we love, might make us happy in the moment. But I always say this, that like eating to try and feel better emotionally is like drinking water when you're tired. It's like a total mismatch. You're super tired. You need to go to sleep. You don't need to drink water. Right? So using food to try and feel better from whatever emotional discomfort you're feeling is never going to work. It will feel like it works for a short period of time. You'll find that relief, but then a minute, maybe even as little as a minute later, 5 minutes later, an hour later, that discomfort, that pain, those emotions are still going to be there. And food is not going to fix it. And I wanted to talk about this week because it's actually a really nice segue from the episode, by the time this airs, it'll actually be 2 weeks ago, where I talked about these four skills to respond to a lot of the negative thoughts that come up. And I talked a lot about like acceptance and saying hello to those thoughts. And it's the same thing. The way our brains work is we have an emotion first, and then we have a thought that comes out of that. We might not consciously be able to realize that's happening. It could happen so fast, but feelings come first, thoughts come second. So we respond to the feelings kind of in the context of the thought. And so sometimes it can be really helpful. There's a tool that I use with clients. It's an emotion wheel. I didn't create this. It's a very commonly used tool in coaching and in therapy.
And it just, it gives you a choices. It's a wheel and it's kind of categorized, right? There's different people kind of have different schools of thought on this in the number of like core emotions. And then within each of those 4 to 6 core emotions, there's like more detailed ones. And so it just gives you a place to identify and point to, yes, I feel that, to give a word to it, right? To notice and name, to say, oh, hello, I'm feeling really jealous right now. I'm feeling really angry. I'm feeling really pissed off. I'm feeling really sad. And it goes obviously so much deeper than that. But to pay attention and not just try to push it away or gloss over, to allow these feelings to be there and know that they are normal. And to not, just that in and of itself, gives us space to say, okay, well, I don't have to use food in this moment to try and fix this. You might still have that urge to use the food because you're going to want to fix it because it's a skill to learn how to sit with some of this stuff. But just to know that this is normal is a huge part of it. So there's one thing I want you to take away from listening to this today. It's to know that feeling feelings other than happiness and joy and contentment are normal and okay. And if you didn't feel those things, you wouldn't be human. You'd be a robot. And that good vibes only is bullshit. Excuse me, I fucking hate that shit. Sorry for all the cursing, but I just do. You do not always have to be the best version of yourself. And I may have said that. Look, you may have been like, I saw you write that in the post. That's true. I might have. And I take responsibility for things that I've said in the past that I realize were not well as well informed as they could be. You know, I'm always learning and growing as a coach and a person too. We are humans. And this idea of wholeness is all inclusive. It encompasses all of these things. And when you think about, sometimes it's really hard to think about this in the context of ourselves. So I often say, if you have a kid or if you don't have your own kid, everyone has some kid in their life, a niece, a nephew, a friend's kid, some kid in your life you care about. Everyone pretty much has that. Think about it in the context of that person, someone's younger, someone who's growing up, someone that you care about. And you think about if they were to go through something difficult, you'd want them to have the skills to deal with it, right? You wouldn't want them to turn to something immediate to find that relief, like food, like alcohol, like drugs, right? No, of course, you'd want them to have the tools to work through that. But yet for some reason, like we don't want that for ourselves. We're just like in the moment, oh my God, I'm just going to eat this cake, right? I'm just going to have this drink. And sometimes it's like helpful to kind of think about this more separate from ourselves so that we can sort of see, oh my God, that's not how I treat myself at all. And then we can kind of take steps in that direction. If you guys haven't watched the movie Inside Out, highly recommend it. I've actually heard a couple different podcasts and a couple different places, different coaches and therapists referencing this movie. And I saw it when it first came out. I think it came out in 2015. It's a Pixar movie. And it's basically about the inner workings of the brains and where feelings come from and how feelings coexist. And they have, I think, either 5 or 6 core emotions. It's like anger, shame, joy, sadness. I forget what the other ones are. And they each have like a little character and they each have a color and they have a personality. And it's also about memories and how these feelings connect to memories. But very much what that movie is about the coexistence of these feelings and how these feelings make us human. There isn't only joy. There isn't only happiness. There is sadness. There's anguish. There's jealousy. There's frustration. That's part of being human. And a lot of emotional eating comes from us not wanting to accept and acknowledge that. It comes from feeling a discomfort so great and feeling, I think, guilt and shame over feeling that and not feeling something better and more positive instead, that we need to find relief from that. I was having a conversation with a new client over the weekend, and we were talking about this idea that we feel uncomfortable and we try to use food to deal with that. It's about finding relief. And it resonated with her so deeply, that language. So I wanted to share it here in case it resonates with you as well. When we use food to deal with our feelings, we are trying to find relief from those feelings. It's never going to work. What will A, we don't always find relief for those feelings. We need to figure out how to move through them. Part of being able to move through them and sit with them is knowing that they're normal. I'm going to put a little caveat here that if you are dealing with mental illness, depression, that goes beyond some of this, right? And hopefully, please seek out the appropriate medical support and therapeutic support. I just wanted to say that separately. There are times when we do need additional support. Food is still not going to fix that, right? If you're dealing with depression, food is still not going to like be the thing to help you out of that. But obviously there are situations and there are people and there are circumstances where we need medication and specific types of therapy and whatnot to help us move through that. And I really speak about, you know, that kind of is all encompassing. But for folks who are not dealing with a mental health struggle in that form, and have the day-to-day stresses of life and pressures and body image struggles, which obviously do have an impact on our mental health, but we need to have skills to learn how to deal with all the feelings that come up with that. And one of those skills, as I talked about this 2 weeks ago, is accepting, noticing and naming, saying hello. Oh, there, I'm like feeling really jealous because I just, you know, saw an old friend and her body looks like the way that I want my body to look, whatever it is. Or I'm really annoyed because, you know, my best friend can literally eat whatever she wants and not gain weight. You know, feelings like that. Or, you know, oh my God, I overate this weekend. I'm so disgusting. I feel really gross. And what are the feelings, you know, what's coming up with that? And what's the reaction that starts to happen? Which is sometimes restriction. Sometimes it's like, oh, screw it. I already ate all the stuff. I'll just keep eating. But just accepting that these thoughts are normal and these emotions are normal and giving them a place to exist and not trying to shut them down. Because when we don't try to shut them down, then it's like, okay, well, I actually don't have to use food to deal with that thing. I can realize this is actually an okay thing to feel. And if it's an okay thing to feel, that means I don't have to fix it. That takes work. That's not just going to happen. You're not just like, oh, great. I feel really shitty today about X, Y, or Z. And then you just go about your day. This is going to take work. But just that acceptance, that acknowledgement that this is normal, this is okay, it's not something that has to be fixed. And I will continue to talk about tools. I'm going to do an episode around like some somatic tools, movement, breathing, getting into your body, because that is a huge skill to deal with some of this stuff, right? So if you're having these really tough feelings and it's like, okay, it's okay to feel this way. And I know that food isn't going to fix it. How do I cope with it? These somatic tools, somatic meaning kind of the body, are one of the ways to deal with that. And it's in addition to some of the more cognitive tools that I talked about in the episode from 2 weeks ago. There's a lot of different tools out there, which is awesome because you can figure out what works for you. So I think this is pretty much everything I wanted to cover today. And that's super cool because we're under 20 minutes. I'm going to include a link to that post in the show notes. And I just think about this idea of wholeness instead of happiness being part of wholeness, but all these other feelings, all these ranges of emotions that you feel, part of being alive, part of being human, and learning to accept that and know that that's normal. And as we start to do that, we think about being whole, then we don't need to fix those things as much. And when we don't need to fix them as much, we're not relying on food and emotional eating to do that. And I'll just kind of like tack on this piece a little bit because I've been talking about this a little bit more lately. And that I talk about, you know, if you're someone who wants to or needs to lose body fat for a variety of different reasons, which I'm not getting into here, I use a skills-based approach to that. This is one of those skills, right? If you are someone who is doing a lot of emotional eating, that's likely impacting your body composition. And so as you learn tools to find other ways to cope with your emotions, aside from only emotional eating, there are times and places where emotional eating is appropriate. I can talk about that separately. Not only the first thing that will happen is you will start to feel more comfortable in your own body, in your own skin, in your own brain, and feel more confident in your ability to deal with these feelings and thoughts that come up. therefore kind of changing your relationship to food. And then as a result, because you're not using food to fill these holes, you're eating less. And your body, you will lose body fat, right? So this is how we talk about losing fat without a diet. If you are kind of at a weight where you want to be, that feels good for you, right? There's obviously still a ton of benefit to this. It may not have obviously that same impact. I like to link this together so that you can see when I talk about like a skills-based approach to eating and a skills-based approach to fat loss, this is one of those things. And obviously, if you're someone who emotionally eats a lot, it probably has affected your body weight to a certain extent. And so it's about finding, giving you tools, giving you support to deal with that, not just taking away those foods and saying, oh, they're bad, you can't have cookies anymore, right? That we know that doesn't work. So I hope this is helpful. As always, reach out with questions. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And more next week.